Page 406, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Beis. Okay, I wasn't here last week, but you only learned two psukim, I was told. Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jews out to go meet Hashem. Hashem came to meet the Jews. Hashem came down on Har Sinai. Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu to come up on the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu went up. Hashem said, go down and warn the people. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu already warned the people that they cannot go near the mountain, but nevertheless, there's a din that you have to warn people immediately prior to the act. Even in testimony of witnesses, there's a din when you, in order for a person to be punished, to get punishment for committing an aveira, they need to be warned immediately prior to the fact. Otherwise, they can say, we forgot the warning. You know, people forget things a lot. They can say, we forgot the warning. So you have to warn them what's called toch kedei dibur. Immediately prior to the act, you have to warn them. So Hashem says to Moshe, go warn the people again, not to go up to the mountain. So the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, like it says in the next pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, but you already warned them. Hashem says, it doesn't matter, you have to warn them again, immediately prior to the act. The Gama Kohanim, so Pasuk Habay says, the Gama Kohanim, Anigoshim al Hashem, even the Kohanim, who come closer to Hashem, Yizkadoshu, should sanctify themselves. Pen Yifreiz Bahem Hashem, lest Hashem will burst forth before them. Now here does not mean the Kohanim. Here, the firstborns were the Kohanim. Until the Jews sinned in the golden calf, the ones that actually did all the worship were the firstborns. After the golden calf, when everybody sinned except the Kohanim and Levim, so Hashem took it away from the firstborn and gave it to the Kohanim and Levim to work in the Beis HaMikdash. But at this point, Kohanim, Rashi says, refers to the firstborn. V'yemer Moshe l'Hashem, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, why do you have to warn them? He said, the people anyway can't go up to Har Sinai. Because you already warned us, saying, separate the mountain, make a hagbala, a boundary around the mountain, and sanctify it. So basically, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, why do I have to do it? You already warned them. So the Jews know already. Hashem says, no. Go down. And I want Aaron and you should ascend. But the Kohanim and the people, Al Yersu, should not break through Lalis al Hashem to go up to Hashem. Lest Hashem will burst forth and punish them. So, meaning, you go, Aaron goes, the Kohanim go, and then the people go. Each one had their boundaries. The only one that actually went up on Har Sinai was Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, he's the actual, not Aaron, not anybody. Okay, so this is basically our Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says, you have your mechitza, Aaron has his mechitza, the people, the Kohanim have their mechitza, the rest of the nation can't even come close to the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu went down to the nation as Hashem told him to do. And he said to them, what did he say to them? It doesn't say in the pasuk what he said to them, but basically he said to them, get ready for Matan Torah. And now, we actually begin Matan Torah, the Ten Commandments, and this we're going to spend time on. So, be patient. Because there's a lot on each one of the Ten Commandments you could talk a very long time about. Vayidaber Elokim, now basically starts the Aser Sedibris. Vayidaber Elokim, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu went down from Har Sinai, because it said Vayedid Moshe La'am, Moshe Rabbeinu went down. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu was down from Har Sinai, Hashem spoke, as Kol HaDvarim Ha'ela, all these words, Leimer speaking. Now, when it says, as Kol HaDvarim Ha'ela, Hashem spoke, the implication of the pasuk, I'm first saying what Rashi says, the implication of the pasuk is that Hashem said all Ten Commandments in one breath. That means Hashem said all ten commandments in one breath that it's impossible for a human being to do. The Medrash says, there's a lot of different opinions in the Medrash what happened, but the Medrash basically says Hashem said all 10 in one shot, then he started and again said over each one, one by one. But initially God said all 10 at one time. Now, the Mefarshim say basically, there's a lot of questions over here in the Ten Commandments. The whole thing doesn't make sense of the whole Ten Commandments. The whole tumult and commotion of the Ten Commandments doesn't make sense. So we'll start going slowly into it and we'll see where all the questions and answers come up. Did they even hear anything when he said it all 10 at once? The Eden heard it. What did they hear? All 10 at one shot. Because we can't. Hashem does a lot of things we can't do.
No, I mean, can you hear it?
Hashem can make us hear. Not only that, but as we're going to see, not over here, but there's a pasuk in Veschanan that says, V'chol ha'am ro'im es ha'koilis. The whole nation saw the voices. How could you see the voices? Well, they saw the voices, the pasuk says. You mean it was on the computer screen?
Something like that.
No. They didn't have computers in those days. We'll explain when we get, again, the Ten Commandments are going to take a time. There's a lot of sichas in the Rebbe about this. There's a lot of interesting midrashim about this. There's a lot exactly how the Ten Commandments worked. What?
Why doesn't he use Elohim here?
We're going to get to that in a second.
Well, we learned only the first two commandments were told by Hashem directly.
We're going to get into that too. In other words, the Mefarshim discuss all these aspects that we're talking about now. When it says that the Ten Commandments, first Hashem said it all 10 at one shot. All 10 at one utterance. The Jews heard it that way. And then Hashem repeated the Ten Commandments. When Hashem repeated the Ten Commandments, we only heard two from Hashem, and the other eight, and we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. We will learn why those two they had to hear directly from Hashem. But basically, there's the famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Makis. The Gemara says that Hashem, you know, we all know, ask any Jew, how many mitzvahs are there? 613. Yeah, what's the source of that? It doesn't say anywhere in Chumash to 613 mitzvahs. It doesn't say. So the Gemara says a statement. The Gemara says 613 mitzvahs were given to the Jewish people. All of them we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, except the first two of the Ten Commandments. That means 611 mitzvahs we heard through Moshe Rabbeinu, and two mitzvahs we heard directly from Hashem. And the Gemara says, where do we learn this out from? Because the famous pasuk says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Merashe Kehilas Yaakov, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us as an inheritance from the congregation of Yaakov. The word Torah equals 611. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Torah, 611 mitzvahs, tziva lanu Moshe Rabbeinu commanded. Because the first two, we heard directly from Hashem. Now, simply, Rashi, to answer you... What?
What were the first two mitzvahs?
I am God, your God, you shouldn't have any other gods.
Thank you.
Not me.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
Well, I do want to make sure.
Rashi, tell Mommy I know that.
Okay, now, Rashi asks the question, what you asked. Why does it say over here, Vayidaber Elokim, what it means, strictness. So it says, because when it comes to the Ten Commandments, Hashem is very strict with the Jewish people. Normally, Yavin Chumash Vayidaber Hashem O Moshe Leimer. The name Yudke Vavke, Hashem, is the attribute of Rachmanus, of mercy. And as Rashi says, there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah, you do them, you get reward. You don't do them, you don't get punished. When it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem says, Vayidaber Elokim. Elokim symbolizes the harshness of Hashem. Hashem says, you don't keep the Ten Commandments, you're going to be punished for it. And therefore it uses the word Elohim. In a deeper sense, the name Elohim is in many respects higher than Yudke Vavke. I'll give you an example. You have the famous Pasuk, we say every Saturday night, it's a very famous Pasuk, V'yitan l'cha Elohim mital ha-shamayim mishmani ha-aretz. Yaakov, Yitzchok is blessing Yaakov when he's stealing the brachas. And he says, V'yitan l'cha Elohim, and as Rashi says, V'yitain means not only give, but V'yitain with the Vav, meaning adding. Yitain v'yachzer v'yitain, Hashem should give and continue giving. It's an unbelievable bracha. Mital ha-shamayim mishmani ha-aretz, yavduch amim. Think about it. It's an unbelievable physical bracha, spiritual bracha. So Chassidus asked the question, why does it say Elohim? If you're talking about a bracha from Yitzchok to Yaakov with such great brachas, he should say, v'yitain l'cha Hashem mital ha-shamayim mishmani ha-aretz. Why is he saying from Elohim? So Chassidus explains that Elohim symbolizes a level of concealment. Yud Kevavke is a revelation. Elohim is a concealment. There are certain levels of Elokus that are so great, they are so great, they are concealed because they're too great to be revealed. Those levels of godliness are also called Elohim. Not lower than Yud Kevavke. Normally the name Elohim is a concealment of Yudke Vavke. So it's lower than the Yudke Vavke name. There's a level of Elokus that's so great and so hidden, it can't be revealed. It's even higher than Yudke Vavke is a revelation of godliness. There's a level of godliness which is so concealed, you can't even have it revealed, it's called Elokim. So Chassidus explains, what Yitzchok is blessing Yaakov, is from that level of Elohim, which is so high and so great that it cannot be revealed, that's the level God should give you. Matan Torah comes from the essence of God. And that's as we'll learn, that says the divis begins with the word Anechi. Anechi is the essence of Hashem. If Anechi is the essence of Hashem, Torah is Vayidabit Elohim. That level of Elokus, which is so concealed, that is the level where Torah is coming from. And that's where he uses the name Elohim. Now, the Pasuk says, Vayidabir Elohim es kol advarim ha'ila lemer. Normally in Chumash, when it says, Vayidabir Hashem al Moshe lemer, what does it mean? Hashem spoke to Moshe, lemer, that he should repeat it to the Jewish people. That's normally what the word lemer means, repeat it to the Jews. By Matan Torah, the Medrash says, every Jew was present. The neshama of every Jew was present. Not only was the neshama of every Jew of all generations present, it says in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that even the neshamas of all future halachic converts, all the gedim, were present at the time of Matan Torah. So everybody was there. So the question is, what does it mean Hashem said, kol advarim ha'ela lemer? What does lemer mean? Normally, lemer means to repeat it. Mm-hmm. Who's he repeating to? If everybody's there. Hashem spoke to everybody. Everybody was present. So what's this concept of lemer? So Rashi answers, what does lemer mean? That the Jews should answer. And the positive mitzvahs, they said yes. Another one, Hashem said, I am God, your God. The Jews said yes. When Hashem said, no other God, the Jews said no. Hashem said, honor your father and mother. The Jews said, yes. Don't steal. The Jews said, no.
But they didn't hear those anyways.
Huh?
What did they say yes to? They didn't hear it.
No, but even when Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it, it was coming from Hashem. So it means that when Hashem, that's how Rashi learns the word lamer. Lamer means that the Jews had to answer what it means. In Chassidus explanation over here, is also Chassidus asked the question, what does it mean lamer? What's the lamer? So Chassidus explains, there are, in fact it says in Parshas Nosei, Asara Asara Kaf B'Shekel HaKadosh, when the Nesiim dedicated the Mishkan, It says, Asara, Asara, Kaf, B'Shekel, HaKadosh. So it says in Chassidus the following. There are 10 utterances that God created the world with. As the Mishnah says, Ba'asara, Ma'amores, Nivra, Ha'ilam. The world was created with 10 amiras, 10 utterances. You also have the 10 commandments. What is the Pasuk saying over here? Vayidaber alikim es kol advarim ha'ele. That God is speaking the 10 commandments. Lamer is like le amor, meaning to bring the 10 commandments into the 10 utterances, asara maimoris, lamer, that God created the world with. Meaning, when Hashem created the world, Hashem wanted that the 10 commandments should penetrate the world. Torah, 10 commandments, basically refers to the whole Torah. Because we know that in the 10 commandments, there's 620 letters. If you count the letters of the Aseres HaDibros, there's 620 letters, which correspond with the 613 biblical mitzvahs, the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs. So the entire Torah is in the Ten Commandments. And Reb Sad Yigoin, it was called the Hazaras of Reb Sad Yigoin, Reb Sad Yigoin shows each one of the 613 mitzvahs which commandment of the 10 they're connected to. The 10 Aseres HaDibros are the entire Torah in the Ten Commandments. So when Hashem is speaking the Ten Commandments, Hashem is saying, Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ele, dvarim is the Aseres HaDibros, lamer, that it should permeate the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with. It says in the Gemara that when Hashem was giving the Torah to the world, after the thunder and the lightning and the kailas of Rakim and the commotion, it says the world was silent. The Medrash says the birds didn't chirp, the bugs didn't make noise, the cows didn't moo. Even the Jews were quiet. Everybody was quiet at the time of Aseres HaDibros. Two reasons. Number one, because the world was completely bottled at that time to Hashem. But another reason is, the people were very nervous. David HaMelech says in Tillim, Eretz Yara Vishakata. The earth was trembling and peaceful. So the Gemara asks, Yara Vishakata, two opposites. Yara means trembling, fearful, and Shakata means quiet. So how could the earth be Yara Vishakata? So the Gemara answers, Mitchila Yara, meaning, Hashem made a condition, and this is important to understand it over here. The Medrash says, Rashi brings it down to Chumash, it's all over the place. Tanai hisna Kadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh bereishis. When God created the world, Hashem made a condition with the world. That 2,448 years later, if the Jews will accept Torah, the world will exist. And if not, the world is going back to nothing. That's what the Medrash says. Hashem made a condition with the world. So therefore, the world initially was trembling. The world didn't know, are we here for good or not? Because the Jews refused to accept the Torah, the earth disappears. After the Jews accepted the Torah, so at that time, the earth became silent. The earth became quiet. So the whole, in fact, this is why we say it in Kiddush Friday night. The pasuk goes vayera vayibaker yom hashishi. We don't say vayera vayibaker yom shishi. It says yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi, yom chamishi. Should say vayera vayibaker yom shishi. Why does it say vayera vayibaker yom hashishi, the famous day, the sixth day? So the Gemara says in Shabbos, this refers to the sixth day of Sivan, that the Jews received the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. the ending, the culmination of creation, was dependent on the Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day of Sivan, that the Jews will accept the Torah. So therefore, when Hashem gave the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem is saying, what is the purpose of Matan Torah? Not to have world as one thing, and Torah as a separate entity. You know, two separate things. The concept of the Aseres HaDibros, Vayidaber Alekim, as Kol HaDvarim Ho'ela, the Aseres HaDibros, should be Leimer Le Amiro, meaning it should penetrate the 10 utterances that the world was created with, meaning Torah and the world become one.
Rabbi, Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, you say. Did he give it to the Moshe Rabbeinu, or did he give it to somebody for the Jewish people? Well, who did God say should take the Torah and bring it to the Jewish people?
When God offered the Jews the Torah, they asked him, how much is it? So the God said, it's for free. They said, give us two.
You're kidding me now.
I never joke. Now, what does this mean? Hashem spoke the Ten Commandments to all Jews. Torah was given to all Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu was the representative. They got it. I'll give you a simple example. There's a kiddush in a shul. The kiddush is for everybody. But one person brings it, one person buys it, one person gets it. But who is it for? It's not for him. It's for everybody. Torah belongs to every single Jew. Not only does Torah belong to every single Jew, but concerning Torah, we find three different expressions of how we got the Torah. One place we know it's called Matan Torah, or as when you get an aliyah, or when you say Davin in the morning, you say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Neisein HaTorah. Neisein means, Matan Torah means a gift. Matan is a gift. God gave us a gift. That's one thing we find. Another pasuk we find, Ki Lekach Tev Nasati Lachem, Terasi Al Ta'azevu. God said, I gave you a good deal. Torah is called, God sold us the Torah. Lekach means to buy, Mekach Memka, to buy something. And then we find another expression by Torah, that we quoted before, Torah Tziva Lanu Meisha, Merosha Kehilas Yaakov, it's an inheritance. So, we have inheritance, we got it as a gift, and we bought it. So the question is, what is it? If it's inheritance, you don't buy it, and if it's a gift, you don't buy it. And if you buy it, then it's not a gift. So what does it mean? Torah is Yerusha, inheritance, and Torah is a gift, and Torah is buying. The answer is, Torah is all three. Huh? By keeping it. So it says, each one has an advantage that the other one doesn't have. We all know, when you get something for free, and you lose it, it doesn't, unless it's sentimental value, but something you get for free and you lose it, you don't care that much. When you pay for it, you appreciate it much more. You know, this way if you lose it, you get upset. They tell a story, a kid once lost his contact lens. So the mother said to the kid, okay, go look. Kid looked, couldn't find it. So the mother started looking, a minute later she found it. So somebody said to the mother, the kid was looking for 20 minutes, he couldn't find it, and you found it in a minute. So the mother said, the kid was looking for a little piece of glass. I was looking for $100. Instead, the kid, he doesn't pay for it, he can lose it. Now, what does he care? The mother said, I'm looking for $100. It's a different story. When you pay for something, you appreciate it much more. You know, it's when the previous Rebbe came to America in 1940, and they started printing, you know, books in English and different, whatever, for people. Even though the Friedrich Rebbe had sponsors that covered the expense, he said they should charge like a nickel. Why? Because when a person buys something, they appreciate it much more than if they get it for free. You appreciate much more than if you get it for free. So one aspect of Torah, the Torah says, I want you to appreciate Torah as if you bought it. Another aspect of a gift, when you give something, the Torah is called a gift that Hashem gave us. The Gemara says, Kol ha-naisen, ba'ayin yofa naisen. When you give something as a gift, you give it with a good eye. When you sell something, there's a machlekes in the Gemara between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham, you sell with a good eye, you sell with a bad eye. When you give a gift, everybody says, you like the person, that's why you're giving them a gift. So you do it with a good eye. When Hashem gave us the Torah, so to speak, He wasn't cheap in it. He gave us, with His broad hand, so to speak, He gave us the gift. Inheritance, the third aspect of Torah, which is a remarkable aspect, inheritance, by definition, a baby, the second they're born, inherits. You can have a parent who is worth $100 billion. The second the baby is born, he inherits the whole fortune. He doesn't understand money, he doesn't know it's his father, he doesn't know anything. He's completely clueless of what's going on. Yerusha means it's automatically yours, whether you want it or you don't want it, or you're aware of it or you're not aware of it, it's automatically yours.
One second.
Not only that, but as we mentioned in the past, there's an interesting law by inheritance. If three children inherit a parent, according to halacha, it doesn't mean each child inherits a third. According to halacha, each child inherits all of it. You can't give each one all, so you have to divide it into three. But conceptually, the din of Yerusha is that each child inherits everything. When you speak about Torah as Meirasha Kehilas Yaakov, it's a Yerusha, meaning every Jew. You could be, spiritually, a newborn baby. You know nothing about Yiddishkeit. You don't even know you're Jewish. You're not mamish, nothing. Like this kid, a newborn baby, doesn't know a thing. You don't even know you're Jewish. The fact is that you're Jewish. You inherit the entire Torah. So Torah is gift. Torah is a bought. And Torah is inheritance, because each one has an advantage that the other one doesn't have. Inheritance they can't change. Then it's not inheritance.
Rabbi, I just want to make sure that the baby inherits. You said he. It could be a she, and she would inherit the warrant.
Only if there's no sons.
Oh.
If they're boys, girls don't inherit.
If there's a boy in the family, she can't. The new baby has to be a boy. Okay, thank you.
I know this religion is...
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Been there, seen it, so... You know.
Okay. So therefore it says as follows. What? Ma? It's a pasuk in Chumash. Ish kimeis uvein ein lei vavartim es nachlose levitei. That's the whole Tzlochet story. Tzlochet's daughters came and said, hey, we're only girls, how do we inherit? So the Moshe Rabbeinu found out from God. Well, it's a good thing he came to the class. There are ways, as we know, Jews get around things.
Double.
Right. There are ways of getting around it. And I don't want to give a class in writing rules.
Now all of the boys and the girls, every child is equal, no?
Who said? Who said? Who said they're equal? There's no equality in this religion.
No, but I mean, when you're writing, when you're writing a trust, you say, you know, the sheets are all equal.
It has to be written in a way that halacha, it's halachically correct. For instance, just to give you, I'm not getting into these dinner because they're very complicated. When a parent dies, if there's a son, the son inherits, the girls don't inherit. If there's two boys, the two boys inherit, the girls don't inherit. If there's no boys, girls inherit. Okay? If there's no children, brothers inherit. I mean, there's a whole, the Torah says, the whole procedure of Yerusha. Now, but that's only if the person dies, that's how the inheritance goes. But what happens if you write a trust in a way that 1 minute, let's see, a parent writes like this, 1 minute before I die, I'm giving gifts that become effective 1 minute before I die. You can give a gift whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with it. Right? You can give now gifts to your children, boys and girls could be equal. It's not a problem. So you have to write that, let's say the estate is $1,000, right? So you can, and there's five kids, let's say boys and girls. So you write that you make it in such a way that 1 minute before I die, I'm giving a gift to each kid of $200. But you have to leave over, according to halacha, some money that there should be a din Yerusha. And in that din Yerusha, boys get and girls don't get. So you can leave over, let's say, $100, let's say, that the boys get it between themselves and the girls get nothing. But all the millions and billions and zillions, you give it as a gift before you die. But in Yerusha, it's a pasuk in Chumash. It's not even Gemara. It's a clear pasuk in Chumash.
Same. Same laws?
By Sfarad, the girls get, not the boys.
No. Actually, in Iran, they brought the law that the girls get it too.
Yeah, but not in Torah law.
Yeah.
It's in the second. I told you they do it in a way that halachically is correct.
My mother, she should listen to this. I have one raisin, it's equal, it has to be divided to five.
Okay, but we're not learning Yerusha now. That's a separate... when we get to Parshas Matis and we learn about the Yerusha, we'll talk about Yerusha. We got a few years to get there, though. Okay, Vedaber Elokim Eskol Advarim Ela Leimer Etz Hashem is speaking all these sayings. Leimer, like we said, Leimer to repeat it, or the way it means to answer yes or no, or basically that the Jews should bring down the level of Kedusha of the Aseres HaDibros into the Asar Maimonis. Okay, now just to begin the Aseres HaDibros. The first Pasuk says, Anecha Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, that took you out from Egypt, Mibeis Avodim, from the house of slavery. So first one of the Ten Commandments, Hashem is saying, I am God, your God. So therefore, this is the mitzvah of believing in God. It's called Amonis Elokus. There is a very interesting argument in halacha. Is there a mitzvah of believing in God? Is there a mitzvah to believe in God? You know what? Open the door. Huh? Is there a mitzvah to believe in God or not? What's the question? A person would say, of course there's a mitzvah to believe in God. The first mitzvah of the Torah is to believe in God. The question is, when you say the word mitzvah, the definition of the word mitzvah is that there is a commander. And the commander is commanding you to do something. You can't, there are many poskim in halacha that write, you can't have a mitzvah, which by definition means there's already a commander, to believe that there's a commander, then it's not a mitzvah. It's like a catch-22 situation. The word mitzvah means that there is a commander. You can't have a mitzvah to believe there's a commander. The commander is already existing, because that's the concept of a mitzvah.
Then what would the...
Oh, so then the question, what does it mean, the mitzvah believing in God? It's the foundation of the entire Torah. So they learn, Tzemach Tzedek brings it down in Derech Mitzvah Secha and Amonis HaLukus. The Tzemach Tzedek explains, according to those, it's a Bar Benel, means a lot of poskim that discuss this whole concept. And they write that the mitzvah is not to believe that there's a God. Because that, by definition, the word mitzvah automatically means there's a God. The mitzvah is to believe that this God that's commanding us to do things is beyond our understanding. Not that there is a God. Because you can't have a mitzvah, there's a God, because it's a contradiction of terms. The mitzvah is that this God is beyond our complete understanding. Because, as the famous expression goes, emuna begins where seichel ends. Something you understand, you don't believe, you understand it. Where does belief start? Where intellect ends, seichel emuna starts. There's a famous story that the Alter Rebbe once called in the Tzemach Tzedek, and he said, I want to give you a bracha, you should know Torah. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to his grandfather, I decline the bracha, because I want to work in Torah. I don't want a gift. I want to work in Torah. So the Alter Rebbe didn't give it to him. Later on, the Tzemach Tzedek regretted it. He said, Torah is so unlimited, as much as my grandfather would have given me as a gift, I could have started working from that level, but I would have started at a higher level. Even in this mitzvah of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of Emunah, like we said, begins where Seichel ends. A person that has a greater Seichel, a person that's smarter, they will understand what other people believe. So their emuna begins on a higher level. But whatever your level of seichel is, emuna, belief, starts where seichel ends. The mitzvah of Anecha Hashem Elokecha, the poskim write, is not necessarily a mitzvah to believe that there is a God, because that you can't have a mitzvah on. The mitzvah is to believe that it's way beyond our understanding, that we can't understand it. That he didn't ask for any proof. Rashi said that he didn't ask for any proof. Now, so the mitzvah basically, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, is the mitzvah of believing, like we said, not only in God, but this God is way above and beyond. Anoich Hashem Elokecha, it says in the Medrash, was the famous Sikh of the Rebbe, Anoichi, the Medrash says, is Lashon Mitzri. Because in Hebrew, the word is Ani, not Anechi. Ani in Hebrew, you say Ani, I am God, you God, would be Ani Hashem Elokecha. We say in the Shema, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Masher says Yes, Chametz and Tzraim. Anechi, the Medrash says, is an Egyptian word. So, the Rebbe asks in the famous Sicha, so why should the first one of the Ten Commandments, the first word of the Ten Commandments, begin with an Egyptian word? It should begin with at least Ani. So the Rebbe explains that the whole, like we said before, what does it mean as kol advarim ha'ela lemer, that the Ten Commandments should permeate the ten utterances of the world? The concept of Anech Loshin Mitzri is that Torah has to permeate even the concept of Egypt. Egypt at that time was the most corrupt, immoral, lowest country in the world. The whole concept of Aseres HaDibros is Anechi, that the Egyptian level should be permeated with the Ten Commandments.
In us.
Huh? In us, Bechlau, the world at large, everything. Us and the world and everything. Anechi, the first word of the Ten Commandments, begins with an Aleph. It's well known, the famous question that all a lot of Mefarshim ask, Torah begins with a base, Bereishis Bara Elokim. So when the letter Aleph came to God and said, why are you studying the Torah with a base and not with me? So Hashem said, don't worry, I'll pay you back. By the Ten Commandments, I'll start it with you, with the Aleph. What is the Aleph? If you look at the letter Aleph, the Aleph is composed of three parts. There's a Yud on top, there's a Yud at the bottom, and there's a Vav in the middle. You look at the letters, a Yud, Yud, one's upside down, one's frontwards, and then a Vav. Now, Yud, Yud, and Vav equals 26. Yud, Yud is 10 each, and Vav is 6 is 26, which is the numerical value of Yud Kei Vav Kei, of the name of Hashem, which is 26. So the Torah begins, the Nechi Hashem Elokecha begins with an Aleph, representing the concept, not only the first letter of the Aleph base, and Aleph refers to one, which is one God, but also the Aleph itself represents the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. In addition, as we know, it says in Ayem Yem, that the Yud on top refers to the 10 levels of godliness, the Yud at the bottom refers to the 10 levels of the person, 10 levels of the neshama, and the Vav is the line of Yirah Shamayim that connects the two. So Yud on top is God, Yud on the bottom is the Jew, and the Vav is the line of fearing God that connects God and the Jews. Now, Yavanechi Hashem Elokecha. So continuing in explaining why does the Torah begin with the word Anechi, when the Sersedibus begin with Anechi, not Ani. The Gemara says that the word Anechi is an acronym for Ana, it's Aramaic, but it's Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yohavis, which means Ana Nafshi, meaning I myself, Ksavis wrote it, Yohavis gave it. So simply, the Gemara's meaning is, Anechi means, Hashem says, I myself wrote the book, and I gave the book. Basically, I'm the author. That's the simple meaning of the Gemara. Yohavis. Yohiv is in Aramaic for giving. Chassidus explains it much, much deeper. The simple meaning of Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis means I myself wrote it and gave it. Chassidus explains it much deeper. Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis means I wrote myself and gave myself. Not I myself wrote it and gave it. I wrote myself and I gave myself. Ana me, Hashem says, Nafshi, my essence, Ksavis, I wrote in Torah, and Yehovis, I gave it. Meaning, in Torah, Anechi, and that's why it starts with Anechi rather than Ani, because Anechi is teaching us that Torah, God put himself into. And therefore, when a person learns Torah, they, so to speak, grab God. Because Torah is one thing with God. And that's why, how the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, when the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Truma says, V'yidaber Hashem al Meshe Leimer, Daber al B'nei Yisrael, V'yikhuli Truma. V'yikhuli Truma means they should take for me an uplifting. You know, Zav, Kasev, Nechay, they should take the various materials they needed for the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody that knows any Hebrew knows it's grammatically incorrect. V'yikhuli Truma would be translated literally like Yeshiva Bacher English. Take me Truma. She said, V'yikhu Elai Truma, V'yikhu Avuri Truma, V'yikhu Li Truma. V'yikhu Li Truma means take me Truma. It's incorrect Hebrew. So the Rebbe explains in Tanya, Truma, the word Truma is Torah Mem. If you switch around the letters of the word Truma, it's Torah Mem. Torah Mem means the Torah given in 40 days. Hashem says, V'yikhu li, you want to take me? it's only through Truma, through Teira. As he uses the expression, Eis from the Medrash, Eisi Atem Leichim, when a Jew learns Teira, they take God. There's a difference. We're going to get into that. We're not going to get that today. But there's a difference between taking Hashem by learning more than by mitzvahs.
It's more.
Yeah. Because the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya. Okay, we'll say it now. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains in Perikei of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe explains a remarkable concept about Torah and Hashem. In Gashmius, think a world. If you have a cup and you put water in the cup, then the cup is not in the water. The water is in the cup, but therefore the cup can't be in the water. Mm-hmm. Right? The water is in the cup, but the cup's not in the water. The table's in the room is not in the table. Mm-hmm. There's one exception to this. And that is Seichel. Seichel is the only exception to this rule. Even our Torah, just take any science. You're learning science. When you study science, the science is in your head. But when you study science, you take the science into your head. While you're learning science, you can't learn math. At the same time you're learning science, you can't learn math. Why? Because your head is in the science. If your head's in the science, it can't go do something else at the same time. So by seichel, it's a phenomenal concept. The seichel is in your head, and your head is in the seichel. You can't learn two things at the same time. Why can't you learn two things at the same time? Not that your head's not big enough for two things, but if your head is in science, then your head can't be in math. You're in the subject matter. You can only be in one subject matter. I know. And sometimes people dream.
No, but sometimes you.
One second. Let me finish the point. I'll listen to you. One second. By seichel, is the exception of this rule, that if A is in B, then B cannot be in A. Seichel works both ways. A is in B, and B is in A. Intellect. When you study something, the math is in your head, mm-hmm. and you're in the math. That's why you can't learn something else at the same time, because your head is occupied in the math. Okay. So he said that's a tremendous level of unity. A is in B, and B is in A. You can't have a closer relationship. It's even more than the water in the glass. Because the water is in the glass, but the glass is not in the water. Now, if you're talking about Seichel of Torah, which is Hashem Seichel, and Torah we just learned is God Himself, so when a person studies Torah more than mitzvahs, when a person studies Torah, God is in their brain, because Torah and God are the same thing. God is in your brain, and your brain's in God. The unity and the relationship between the Jew and God at that time is unparalleled in the existence of the universe. Which explains, as we said many times, why, especially by Hasidim, they had a question, they asked the Rebbe. Should I buy a house? You asked the Rebbe. Should I go through surgery? You asked the Rebbe. Should I make a shidduch? You asked the Rebbe. Should I go for this job? You asked the Rebbe. What is he, a real estate expert? Is he a doctor? Is he a financial advisor? He's not. The Rebbe will answer medical question, life and death situations, without even looking at the medical charts, without ever seeing the patient. How in the world can you make a decision if you never went to medical school? So what's the answer? The answer is very simple. God knows the answer. Of course, God knows the answer. A mind that's so involved in learning becomes a godly mind. they become literally a godly mind. So if they become a godly mind, just say God knows, they know. Because the mind is one thing with God. See, our problem is, even when we learn, but our mind is so full of shtusim, of the waste of time what we learn, so our mind is a little bit tighter and 95% shtusim. But tzaddikim, that's 100% tera, so their mind, they're a godly mind. So they look at things differently, their perspectives are differently, they can answer, it's a whole different ballgame. Because they're one with the tera that they learned. So therefore, the Aseres HaDibros begins with the word Anechi, which is Ana Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis, which means not only I myself wrote it and gave it, but Hashem says, I wrote myself and I gave myself in the Torah. Hashem put himself into the Torah. And that's why it begins with Anechi rather than Ani. In addition to... What are you looking at?
Oh, what? My head at the wonder of what you just said.
Are you one with me now? What did you want to say?
Am I one with you? Yeah.
Oh, no. If you're doing two things at the same time,
yeah,
you're in none of them. That's the fact. Unless, if you're a super person, that could do, a Rebbe could do two things at the same time. A normal human being, if you're doing two things at the same time, you're in none of them. You can't be in two places at the same time. Then you're not completely in it. The what? Caesar. There are great minds, great people, were able to do two things at the same time. But that is a special gift and a special level of seichel to be able to do two things at the same time. Most normal, average people, or above average people, cannot do two things at the same time because the definition of a pnimi is that you're completely in it. And if you're not completely, and if you're completely in it, how can you be somewhere else? Because if you could be somewhere else, you can't be in there completely.
If you're just saying Tehillim anyways, you're not.
That's what I'm saying. You know what? It's like you could drive a car and talk at the same time. Why? Because driving a car, you're not your whole. Speak to a new driver, though. They can't talk and drive at the same time. Because they're completely focused. If you're completely focused, you can't be. You have to be a great person to be able to focus in two things at the same time. Huh?
Not Israeli drivers. They talk, look around.
I know they look around, they crash, they look at this. Say, excuse me, goodbye to...
What do you do with all the people that have cell phones talking into them and driving at the same time?
You honk them. You honk.
Only two cities in America have rules against that. Memphis, Tennessee, and New York City forbid people...
Thanks for the information.
In the cell phone.
Thanks for the information. Hashem said that at Matan Torah.
Oh, that's important.
Don't talk on the cell phone when you drive.
I didn't know.
Anyway, so the concept of Anecha Hashem Elokecha, that I am God, you're God. Now, this one is late. This passage is going to take a long time. But Anecha Hashem Elokecha are three words that represent three different levels of Elokus. What does the expression mean, I am God, your God? It's three words saying three different things. We have the same thing, we mentioned this many, many times. When you say a bracha, you say the same thing. But this is first person, you make a bracha, it's the second person. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. That's similar to Atah is a Kanechi, Hashem, and Elokeinu is Anecha Hashem Elokecha. These are three different levels of Torah's descent into this physical world. Anechi represents, like we said before, the essence of God. Hashem is nameless. Anechi means I, no name. Ata means you, nameless. You is your essence. Anechi refers to the essence of Hashem. Hashem, Yudke Vavke, represents, if you look at the name Yudke Vavke, it's Haya, Hove, and Yihye in the same word. Yudke Vavke is Haya, Hove, and Yihye. That represents the supernatural revelation of God, the infinite revelation of God. And Elokecha is Elokim, which is numerical value for Hateva, the nature. Elokim refers to the level of godliness which is in nature. So Matan Torah is talking about the descent of godliness coming from the level of Anechi, which is the essence of Hashem, into the supernatural, into the natural. So it's not Stam, I am God, you're God. It's three distinct levels of here, of Anechi, Hashem, and Alekecha, which is the essence of God, the infinite level of God, and the natural level of God. The infinite level, the finite level, and the essential level.
Is it like the
what is the finite?
Mugbal.
It's the revelation of all three levels, or it's like a Simpson, but it's just the...
It's the Simpson, coming from Anechi into Hashem, into Elokecha.
So the Jews are just receiving the Elokecha, I guess.
But over there by Matan Torah is the Anechi revealed. The Anechi is revealed into the Havayin Elokecha. Okay, we didn't even start.